Peter, thanks to you and this podcast, I just met my stand goal for the day. Oh, speaking of that, do you notice something different about me right now from the picture that you can see of me? Besides, not me per se, but about my recording situation.
Well, you're hiding behind a microphone.
No, I'm sitting down. Did you notice my desk is lower this time? This is the first time I think I've ever sat down during our recording.
I can see you from the shoulders up. How can I tell you're sitting down?
Because normally the background looks different because my whole desk is like 3 feet higher.
You could have had the walls and ceiling raised for all I know,
12
Scott.
Feet higher, usually, my desk is.
Yeah. See? Yeah, everything's all, the perspective is totally wrong. I have no frame of reference.
I have a standing on stilts desk. No?
Is this where you play the intro?
Friends with beer?
Wow, that's loud. I'm listening to this on my AirPods Pro. I could feel the bass. I don't recall ever feeling the bass in the AirPods before.
It's all about the bass, which is a really stupid song, by the way.
It's definitely about the bass. Not Trouble.
Not Trouble.
So, Scott. You're Scott. I'm Peter.
Yep.
And we have beers.
We do have beers. Let's talk about those.
You go first.
Do you remember once in the past I had a Kona coffee porter?
I do.
Now I have a Kona Brewing Big Wave Golden Ale.
That sounds delicious.
It is delicious, and I'm going to put it in my cup right now.
Ooh. It sounds even deliciouser. So you have a frosty mug. And
I do.
It looked like it, when you started pouring, it looked like it was full of ice.
By the way, Peter's not referring to my cold face when he says I have a frosty mug.
Now, how warm is it out there in Oregon?
It's pretty warm today, really, yeah. It is. I had my window open until right as we started recording.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
All right, let us see what you have. And by the way, I give this a recommendation. It's a nice light ale. No way is it too hoppy. It's just a nice fresh ale. I don't know if Kona... is, you know how a lot of our local microbreweries are, I don't know what the word is. It's not artisanal, but they make really good beer, right? Like it's definitely crafted beer. I don't know if this is somewhere in between that and a generic brewer.
No idea.
But they're pretty good. They're good beer. Like I like them. They're not Blue Moon or anything like that. I don't feel like.
You mean Coors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blue Moon is still better than Coors, but.
Isn't. Blue Moon owned by Coors?
Probably, but the beer is better still.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there, but, you know, guilt by association.
Mm-hmm.
I have Salvatore. So, made in Munich by monks. Okay, they're probably not made by monks anymore, but it used to be made by monks. This is a brewery that's been around since 1634, Paulaner Brewery in München. And it is a 7.9% alcohol Doppelbock, or double bag. So this will likely put me under the table and make for an early bedtime.
A double bag. I don't want to break it to you, but it's actually
but
a bottle.
There's two of them inside. That was a very quiet opening, and I did not hold it up to the microphone. I'm very sorry, but I will hold the pour to the microphone.
Peter is now going to pee into the microphone.
That's disgusting.
Wouldn't it be funny if the beer was actually inside that bottle in two bags and you couldn't get it, you couldn't pour it out until you somehow fish something in there and stab the bags open?
Yeah, you stick a paper clip in or something. Look at that. That is a really nice pour. Look at that. Look at that head.
That does look good.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.
Ding.
Hmm. I needed that. I've been waiting for that all day.
Wow. I'm just trying to think, like, when was the last time I had a beer from Munich that I did not like? And I cannot think of any. This one is good.
Well, if you like Munich so much, why don't you marry it?
I mean, I might go visit it. I don't know if I'm ready to marry it. Jeez.
It's quite a commitment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, this is a good beer. I like it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 7 to 8% alcohol is my sweet spot for a strong beer these days.
I gotta somehow find lighting to tell me what mine is.
I'm guessing 5 to 6%.
Yeah, I think so. I can't find it. But I'm guessing it's a normal Oh, 4.4. It's even lower.
Ooh, it's really golden.
I can have 12 of these to match one of your two baggers.
I don't know if that's exactly how it works, but sure, let's
do
that.
After this podcast, we're not going to say Peter's in the bag. We're going to say Peter's in the two bag.
12. Let's have 12 of these.
Yes, let's have 12 of these.
Oh, man. All right. Well, what's going on? What's happening?
Do you know what today's theme is?
May the fourth be with you.
It's computer problems, and here's a little reminder of someone.
Oh, I thought it was Star Wars Day.
First, a little reminder of someone else's computer problems in the past.
There's a new virus in the database.
What's happening?
It's replicating, eating up memory. What do I do?
Type cookie, you idiot.
Type cookie, okay. You idiot.
All right, I will type cookie.
Did you ever watch Hackers?
No. Wait. Yes. Yeah, I saw that in theaters. In a theater. Just once. One time in a theater. Well, yeah, it's... okay, look. We know that after the first few sips of a beer, my tongue is the first thing to go. And I am consistent. I saw it in a theater, and not in theaters, because that would imply that I had seen it more than once, and that is not the case.
Or you went running from theater to theater. Or maybe you left one halfway through and went and finished it in another one.
That's fun. I will be in theaters this Friday, but we can wait. Go ahead. Let's.
Is the movie as ludicrous and stupid and absurd as that clip makes it seem?
Yes. Oh, you haven't seen Hackers?
No.
Oh, it's worth doing a Mystery Science Theater 3000 and just watching it.
Because one of them, they were talking about some other, there's another clip where he says, we have a zero bug.
I don't even know what that is. Well, this was Hackers came out way before the concept of zero days, and at least before the terminology, before it was a common phrase.
So they weren't trying to say zero day. Probably not.
They may have been trying to, but no, Hackers is it's not a bad hacker movie. It's a bad sci-fi movie. It's like they wanted to be cyberpunk, you know, it's like Johnny Mnemonic, you know, it's like that kind of hacking.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So Peter, a domain and a subdomain walk into a bar.
It hurts. Ba-dum-bum.
Do you remember how I had registered friendswith.beer?
Do remember friendswith.beer.
Being the anti-cutesy domain crusader of us. Said, we're going to use friendswithbeer.com. You have friendswithbeer.com registered. You're always pointing people to friendswithbeer.com, even strangers on the bus or in your Tesla, whatever.
I did that just the other day. I got on the bus and I said, you, friendswithbeer.com, and got off the bus. This guy looked at me and he was like, you're Peter Nicolaitis.
And then he said, what do I do? And you said, type cookie, you idiot.
That's exactly how it played out.
No, since you don't take the bus and you drive your Tesla, what about strangers in your Tesla? When a stranger's in your Tesla, do you tell them about friendswithbeer.com?
No, when a stranger gets into my Tesla, I just put on the latest episode of friendswithbeer.com. I don't tell them about it. I just play. And then they're like, you sound like the guy on the radio.
If you ever get carjacked, just grab their gun and throw it in the glove box and slam the glove box closed. They'll spend the entire ride trying to get it out again.
You know what? I'll keep that in mind. We never actually practiced that part of the gun defense takeaway in a car in my Krav Maga classes, but that would be a funny technique. The only problem is to do that, I would need to enter the 4-digit PIN to get the glove box open. So it's like, take it away, train the gun on the guy, have it pointed there, hit the button to open the glove box. Don't take your eyes off of the guy as you got the gun on him, as you blindly enter the 4-digit PIN and then shove it and slam it shut and say, ha-ha!
Does the PIN have to be entered in the glove on the glove box, or do you enter it in an app, or how does it get entered?
It's on the screen. It's on the big 17-inch touchscreen.
See, if Tesla had a decent API, you could just make a shortcut and it would send the PIN to the glove box.
Don't get me started about if Tesla had a decent...
Okay, well, anyway, I had registered friends with .beer.
Yeah.
And we weren't using it, except I forgot something really important. So it came up for renewal. And I saw that it was going to renew for $50-some. And I'm like, why so expensive? And I didn't bother to look at the details. And I just immediately said, I'm not going to re-register that since we're not even using it. So I think it expired like a week and a half ago. I don't even know, Peter.
Okay. It's still around.
And then the other day I told somebody about the podcast. And I tried to play our audio on our web player and nothing worked. So then I So then I tried to re-download our episode in Overcast and it wouldn't download. And I went poking around and then all of a sudden I realized my problem. My problem was my audio base URL was audio.friendswith.beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that domain had expired. So I re-registered immediately, and I thought to myself, this isn't going to work. So what I did was I had an A record set up for audio, and the rest of them, the star and the at, were just still registered as Hover's IP address.
Got it.
So then I thought, I'll just wait. And I got to tell you, propagation is pretty bloody fast these days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've been very impressed with that. I've been doing some DNS changes, and it's like, unless you're Microsoft, if you're Microsoft and Microsoft's Office or Microsoft 365 portal, and you're waiting for Exchange Online records to change, no, that can take like 48 hours. But for the rest of the world, it takes like 48 seconds.
That's because Microsoft probably has some human doing something in the background.
No, it's because it's running on like a Windows NT 3.51 DNS server or something.
So I waited and it didn't happen. And I waited and it didn't happen. I kept doing NSLookup over and over. But if interestingly, if I did NSLookup using 8.8.8.8, it showed the correct IP address. But if I just did NSLookup without specifying a server, it showed the Hover IP address. And I thought, I have seen this before and I'll tell you where in a minute, but... And so I said, you know what? I'm going to create a new A record. So I created a different new A record and immediately it started working.
Ta-da!
Yeah, but that A record was the one that I had already had set up. And I even deleted it and recreated it with the same subdomain. Never started working. I mean, it was cached somewhere, somehow, something happened.
Mm-hmm. And that new one that you made was enough to flush the pipes free.
But the old one still doesn't work because I still have it set up, but it still points to the wrong IP address for some DNS servers. So here's where else I saw that. I am using Twitter a little bit less, and I'm using micro.blog, which is a weird social network that I can't explain to anybody, except that it allows you to do things that look like tweets, little posts, except they're longer. But it also allows you to point a custom domain at your feed and call it a microblog. Okay? I don't really care about that, but I thought I'd set it up anyway. So I set up microblog.scottwilsey.com to point to that. And scottwilsey.com in general points to my Linode server. Linode, whatever. My Linus server. Linus is back there swearing and flipping people off.
Calling you, what the hell is he? Yes, a bunch of masturbating monkeys.
That's right, as he is wont to do, yes. And we're not talking about Linus the Peanuts character, by the way, for all you.
No, wait, no, that's exactly what I was talking about.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You don't remember that famous Peanuts panel where he points at Snoopy and Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty and calls them a bunch of masturbating monkeys?
No, I don't.
It's totally what I was talking about.
And then he goes back to sucking his thumb and wandering around with his blanket.
Bingo.
Sounds legit. Anyway, so that never started working. It didn't work. It was doing weird things. And so eventually, I wound up registering just micro.scottwilsey.com, not registering, but setting up that A name. And that one worked. And I can't tell you why. And it was the exact same symptoms. From the moment I created microblog.scottwilsey.com, some DNS servers saw it and some didn't. I think Hover's got a weird problem. Because the only thing that both of those had in common was Hover, but one of them was brand new. It had never been created before, didn't have time to get cached anywhere. And yet, I had the exact same problem where Google saw it just fine, but my DNS server didn't. I mean, I suppose it could be my ISP.
You do know the haiku, don't you? It goes something like this. Actually, no, it goes exactly like this. It's not DNS. It cannot be DNS. It was DNS.
It's always DNS.
It's always DNS.
Yeah, it could be my ISP, and maybe everyone else in the world would have seen it okay. But I don't know that. For all I know, if one DNS can't see it correctly, somebody else's can't either.
That's right. If one can't see it, it's a problem with everyone.
But I guarantee you that nobody could see it as long as my domain name was not registered.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Remember back when there was a hosts file? That was awesome.
So which is worse, Peter? The fact that a tree fell in the forest or the fact that nobody noticed the tree fall in the forest? Apparently it didn't make a sound for anyone, literally and figuratively.
I don't think it matters either way. Who cares?
Yeah, but it means that literally no one listens to this podcast because no one tweeted, no one sent it, no one did anything to say, hey, by the way, I don't know why, but your audio is not downloading.
We have at least one. Well, no, that's because Adam figured that we would figure it out.
No, Adam listened before it went south because that episode had been published before the domain expired.
I will confess that I have had two or three pretty large mainstream podcasts not download for me, and I didn't tell anybody.
No, but it didn't continue on for a span of a week and a half, probably.
Maybe. I don't remember. I just went on to something else.
You just went on to become a podcaster on a podcast that lets its domain names expire. That's what you did.
Well, let's talk more about tech fails before we move into our fitness musings then, shall we?
Okay.
So on that note, as far as like nobody at the helm or nobody paying attention or something, I maintain a mail server, an email server, which shows that I hate myself because you should not.
You know what? When I was listening to you and Adam talk about this, I was like, why are you doing this? There are why?
Yes. Right. So I decided, you know, like, here's my use case. I just need to forward like this handful of email addresses for like a handful of domains. So I looked around for like the best services to do this. And I found a bunch of different articles on Medium. And a lot of these, like this one service, came up over and over again. And so I'm like, I'll give it a shot. Cost nothing to get started. Let's try it out. I set it up. Nothing works. Contacted the person, tried to contact them. Nothing, no response, no nothing. Signed up for the paid subscription.
Based on the failure of the free mode.
Still nothing. Well, it was like, I've already set this up. It's been 2 hours. I haven't gotten any of the bounces. Where's my mail going? I got no responses. Now, eventually, I did get the failed mails. The sending server did stop trying to use their server. And yeah, because I flipped the DNS back because it was DNS. So I put it back. Then I disputed the charge, got no response. Then I just disputed the charge with my credit card company. And they're like, yeah, here's your $3 back.
$3. I want my $2.
So it makes me wonder, though. I mean, like, they're running, they've got a slick website, and it's a little bit slow, but it's a nice polished user interface, but they're not doing anything. It makes me wonder how many people will sign up for them, give them their $3, and just walk away and not, you know, not actually dispute the charge. I wonder if that's a sustainable business model.
It sounds like it is. Where did you read these recommendations again? It sounds like they were in notable resources.
It's a bunch of like blog posts and reviews.
Okay, blog posts. So these...
Well, they were on Medium, right? So Medium's a blog. It's a blog.
It's not like Joanna Stern of the New York Times or whatever she works for came out and said, use this email forwarder.
No. So, no, because if they did, it would be more than $3 a month.
So it could all be a scam by some guy with multiple Medium accounts and...
Sure.
Apparently $3 every time somebody goes his way.
Yeah, but doesn't he actually lose money because of the chargeback? Doesn't he pay some kind of processing fee or something?
Right, but like you just said, most people aren't going to bother to do it.
Most people aren't, right. Most people aren't me. They won't go and question a $3 charge.
Yeah, your chargeback wiped out 3 or 4 of his other customers, but...
Yes!
You know what? You should just keep signing up and keep charging it. How many times will your credit card company let you do that before they say, dude, why do you keep doing this to yourself?
I don't know. Let's find out.
You could bankrupt the guy.
Oh, brother. More tech fails. Why don't you go next?
I have an F1 TV subscription because I like Formula One. And although I can watch it on, I think it's ESPN on Hulu, on our paid Hulu subscription.
Do you pay $3 a month for that? So
no, Hulu's way more than $3 a month. I'm sorry to say.
Not for me. I get the free one.
Yeah, but see, we get the live TV. My wife wants some kind of live TV service.
Got it.
And so Hulu's the one that we have. It's got its problems, but it's better than... It's the worst one except for all the rest. Let's put it that way. Anyway, so I can watch it on that, but it's got a lot of commercials. The ESPN coverage is okay. So anyway, I just finally decided to pony up and pay for F1 TV, which is F1 Incorporated or whatever they call themselves. It's a property of the actual series itself. So that's fine. I downloaded the app in the iOS App Store and I paid for my subscription through the App Store. Okay. And I'd been using it for, I don't know, a month and a half. Well, actually, no, I can tell you. It was March 15th that I subscribed. So it's not a month and a half. It's not, well, yeah, it's almost 2 months. It's like a month and a half, almost exactly, actually. So then I start getting these emails saying, we're sorry that you're going to let your subscription lapse. So I go into my subscriptions in settings and I look and it says, no, this thing expires in 2023. And I'm like, okay, these emails just don't know what they're talking about. I'm okay. Next thing you know, when I go to watch F1 TV, it says that I don't have an active subscription.
Mm-hmm.
I go look at my settings again and it says it's active. And I thought, son of a bitch. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, we've got different swearing options. There's this one. There's this one that sounds way too much like peeing. I don't like that one. There's this one, which I don't know if I like. There's this one. And then there's just the old sensor beep.
No, I think the first one was the best.
Okay. So I said, son of a bitch. So I wanted to watch F1. There was an F1 race. So I just paid again. I thought I'll figure this out later. So I paid another $80. So now I had two subscriptions in the iOS App Store for F1 TV. One from May and one from March 15th. And so I thought, well, whatever. So then I was sending emails back and forth with F1 TV and they were saying, you have to deal with the iOS App Store. And I'm like, yeah, but I think you guys are the ones who decided that my subscription was. Anyway, all of a sudden, the very next day I go to look again. And according to my subscriptions in settings, it told me that that one had been refunded. And I'm like, I never asked for a refund on that. I never asked for a refund. And not only does it say refunded, but my Apple Card does not refund.
I was going to say, it said that it was a refund, but did you get the refund?
So I put it off a couple more days. I was going to contact Apple, and all of a sudden the refund shows up. I don't know why I got a refund. I never asked for a refund. I don't know who thought I wanted a refund. I don't know who thought I wanted to stop watching F1.
Huh.
I've never had anything like that happen with anything that I've subscribed through Apple for. And I don't know if it's just because F1 TV reject. I'll just have to wait and see if it happens again. Maybe in June, near the end of June, maybe all of a sudden I'm going to get an email that says, we're so sorry to see you go. I'm going to be like, oh no, here we go again. I'm going to have to pay $80 every month and a half. And the thing is that when I get the refund, it's not the full $79.99. There's like a few dollars missing. I don't know if they only refund me. I don't know.
That's like prorated or something.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works.
I'm guessing they just keep, maybe they're charging you the chargebacks. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to lose money if I have to keep subscribing to this thing every month and a half.
Well, you're losing money if you keep subscribing to it in the first place. I mean, your money's going out the door one way or another.
Well, yeah, but I wanted to pay $80 once and not have to worry about it again for a year.
I'm pouring more beer.
Yeah. Peter's peeing more beer.
So I am not. I'm pouring more beer. There's a difference. All right. So next topic. More tech fails.
Why do you need more light bulbs? Oh, by the way, I have thoughts about light bulbs, but go ahead. Tell me why you need more light bulbs.
Well, you remember around Black Friday, I bought a bunch of those Fight electric bulbs.
I told you don't buy those, but it was too late.
I had already bought them, yes.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they're not great, but I'll say they're actually okay. So, knock on wood, they're performing pretty well. And when I use them with the Amazon Virtual Assistant, they're very, very snappy. They respond very quickly. So, I think that whatever Chinese data center they're routing all my traffic through,
exactly,
it's got a peering connection to my ISP and Verizon. So, it's wonderful. But I have a bunch of little, I threw out two of the three. I don't even remember which one. They're all the same. You ever notice you set up these cheap Chinese knockoff IoT devices? The apps are all the same with just like a skin on top.
They are. And that's why I never use them. I made the mistake of buying one of those Fight, but instead of a bulb, I bought a Switch.
Yeah.
I immediately noticed that and I was like, I don't like this because I don't know where this information is going. And not only that, it didn't work right anyway with HomeKit. Yeah. And so I took it out. I ate the cost. I didn't care. And I uninstalled that app as fast as I could.
Yep.
And I changed my, I even changed all my home networking passwords.
Well, I have some kind of little smart home plug-in switch. And it's like, so it's about the size of an AirPods Pro case. Mm-hmm. And you plug it in, but it has a power button on the side. So, you know, essentially you plug in, so it's just an outlet, right?
Yep.
So you plug in whatever there and you can push the button on the side to turn it on, or you can say, lady in the tube, turn on the blah, blah, blah.
It's exactly like the Wemo ones that I have.
Yeah, very much and just the like the Wemos. Yep. They're all the same, let's be honest.
They are, except you kind of, I trust Wemo and Miros. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I trust Wemo, but fine. I bought some of their stuff and I had tons of problems with it.
But that's different than trusting that they're...
Yeah, I know. I didn't trust Wemo to work. you're trusting Wemo not to hack you. I get it.
Yeah.
So two of them stopped working and I couldn't make them work again. And I wasn't able to get their app to even recognize the things. And I eventually, after, I don't know, half an hour of playing with these things, I just like threw them in the trash. But the third one was working fine.
Did you buy them at Costco?
No, I got them on Amazon.
Do you have Costco or do you have Sam's Club or whatever you have back there?
There is a Costco nearby. I presently have no access to it. Because I never had my own number
in there anymore.
Well, I'm not. I never had. I would go through with the gal that I was dating. So I do have another friend who recently got an account, so I could, you know, like shout at tailgate. I could tailgate in after him. Yeah. Anyway,
just hold his hand when you go in; it'll be good.
Third one, dude, it's in Everett, Massachusetts, which is like right next door to Somerville, where which is weird. No one would bat an eyelash. Oh. Anyway.
That's not weird. That's good. I thought you were going to say it was one of those places where they say, don't say gay. What was that? That was Kentucky,
one
right?
Tennessee. The third switch recently stopped.
Florida.
Working.
It was right? Florida.
I could still push the button and it works just fine, but I would tell it a word, blah, 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 and nothing would happen. So I opened the app on my phone. And I said, open. And it said, connection to server timed out. So for all I know, they went out of business. They didn't pay their hosting bill or whatnot. So that's another piece of cheap Chinese IoT that I need to just... Nothing against the Chinese. Sorry. Not trying to be an ethnist. But this garbage was made over there. And it's not working. And it's cheap. Those were all... accurate statements. It's cheap. It was made over there and it is a company. So,
but the fact that they all use the same app that's just been reskinned gives you you have the right to make fun of them because it makes you wonder what's really happening. Who's actually managing the service?
Ha ha!
I think a bunch of Chinese kids were playing online games and their server stopped and nobody was there to reboot it because they were all playing first person shooters or something.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that story? That actually happened to me once. I used to have this was back in the late 90s. I had my websites hosted with 9 Net Avenue. And they were, you know, like down in Manhattan. They were, you know, one of the early race to the bottom hosting providers, super cheap. And I was like, wow, this look at, you know, this is amazing compared to what I've been paying. And this is great. I threw all my websites on there. And I called them one night for tech support. And it was busy, busy, busy. And then one time I heard someone pick up the phone. I heard video game noises in the background, like Galaga, you know, like, beer, 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 beer. And then the phone hung up again. So these SOBs in their support line were literally sitting there playing video games rather than taking support calls.
And apparently they didn't care if you knew it.
Apparently not. So, yeah, I'm just curious, what happened to that domain name? Is it still even a thing?
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah, their domains doesn't even resolve anymore. They got bought by, you know, like one of the larger providers and stuff. And but
that's anyway, good because so their tech support doesn't resolve either.
Yeah, well, exactly. It was just as accurate. All right, let's move on to more fun things. Talk to me. Talk about fitness.
Oh, well, just a couple things. One is, I don't know why, but for some reason, I just started using the... We've talked about heart rate monitors here before, and we both have external heart rate monitors that we use for our...
external hearts.
Athletic endeavors.
No, we use them for our external hearts.
Our external hearts, yes. We really... We wrap the strap around the external heart. And the electrodes are right up against the beating heart. And then we strap it on our backs and go running. Oh my God, that is so much better than what I was actually going to talk about, that now I don't even want to talk about it.
That sounds like something out of my Ripper's game. That's awesome. His external heart.
Okay, so anyway, I don't... So now, Peter, for yoga only, instead of wrapping the HRM around my external heart, I wrap my Apple Watch band around my external heart.
Wait, so do you have two? Do you have a watch for yourself and one for the external heart?
Yeah, I don't have a day watch and a night watch. I have an internal heart watch and an external heart watch. So anyway, I'm just using the internal HRM, and guess what? I'm getting the same basic heart rate, and I'm getting about the same amount of calories burned for the same length of workout. So it surprisingly correlates pretty well, which is weird because I was having problems with it being accurate for my runs and my bike rides.
Okay, so I think that's the same thing, because I've gone back and historically, like, my heart rate that it would report was way higher than it really was. But the general calorie effort expended and stuff like that seems to be more or less on track.
See, the reason I got mad and got an external heart rate monitor was because my Apple Watch was lowballing me. It was telling me I was in the 113s when I was pedaling my ass off. It would take me 4 hours to burn, you know, it's like, I don't want to spend all night here to burn the amount of calories that I'm supposed to burn.
Well, the problem is that you're biking. You got to run, man. That's where the real, you know, impact is.
But what I'm saying is for the amount of time, I know I was burning way more calories than that.
I'm teasing you.
I actually do burn a little bit more calories per unit of time running than I do on the bike, but it's not as different as you would think. Like, if I'm doing intervals on the bike, I'm right up there. In fact, I'm ahead.
Yeah.
But that's also because when I run, I don't run super hard.
Right. So for me, it's usually like a 3-to-1 or 5-to-1 bike is more efficient. So I'm usually burning a third to a fifth as many calories on a bike as I am running.
Well, I guess the difference there is, like, on your road bike, are you going 20 miles an hour? On your dirt bike, are you doing a lot of downhill? So even though your heart rate is going to be up, it's not the same.
It's nowhere near the same. Yeah. Yeah. But that's my style of biking and my style of running.
Right, right. So it's not like the accuracy of the heart rate monitor should be activity-based or intensity-based. It has to do with the contact patch on your skin. Like, your wrist is a skinny little... It's not really a good place to get a heart rate measurement.
Your wrist is a skinny little... Whatever.
Twerp. Yeah, so why, but wouldn't that be the same for yoga? It's the same freaking wrist.
You'd think. That's something I've noticed, is like, even when I, sometimes when I start an outdoor walk with the Apple Watch, it takes forever to synchronize and start recording. Mm-hmm. And if I say a run, it's like half mile at least before it starts recording anything. And even then, it's wildly inaccurate.
And do you wear your watch loose or tight?
Pretty tight. But again, when I run, I try to, you know, I use the external monitor. My heart is pounding so hard, it's coming right out of my chest.
One of the maddening things about trying to get a heart rate off the watch on the wrist is I have found that it is wildly dependent upon how tight the band is.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a huge amount of difference.
Well, the other thing that I used to do too is I would just loosen the strap and slide it up my arm closer to the elbow.
Yeah.
That makes an incredible difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you've got flesh there.
Yeah, and it works great, except when it's cold out and then your watch is now covered by, like, you know, 10 inches of fabric going up the elbow.
But Peter, you've got to slide it up your arm to where your heart is in your forearm, your internal heart.
Right, my internal heart located at the elbow.
The elbow. Don't bump your elbow.
This is some new, you know, new prehistoric acupuncture diagrams were found. Oh, they knew that the heart was actually located in the elbow.
Yeah, that's why that guy didn't. That's why that version of the human didn't stick around very long. Every time they bumped their elbow, they had a heart attack.
The funny bone was not so funny.
It was not funny at all. No, evolutionary speaking, it was a loss.
So, did you like get injured recently or something?
No. So, what I want to talk about was, as you know, I've been doing yoga, and as you know, I've been running the way you suggested with minimal running shoes and running on the balls of my feet, and all my knee pain went away. I did something at some point though that really tweaked my right hip, and it feels like connective tissue. Like, it is weird kind of pain. It's not the hip itself, I don't think. I think it's connective, but man, I must have stretched the heck out of something, because even now, even being careful and being way more deliberate about listening to my body when I do yoga and stuff and being super careful with it and warming up really slowly, even now, I still feel it a little bit. It's much, much better. But it's taken forever to get to this point. And certain movements would certain yoga movements, even if I wasn't trying to go extreme, I could really feel it. So I think it happened with yoga. And as you know, I've been doing the Apple Fitness Plus yoga, and sometimes they go too bloody fast, in my opinion. Like, if you have half an hour, there was one especially I remember doing where she had half an hour to frame her ease.
Frame your ease.
And she had a certain routine she wanted to get through, and boy, does she take off and go. And it's too fast. Like, when you, like, I feel like you have to hold a pose to get any benefit. Like, if you bend and touch the ground and you're, you know, you're stretching your the back of your legs and so forth, what good does it do if you do that for 0.5 seconds?
Right, but that's not, for that style of yoga, that's not the point. Then you're not working to stretch. It's cardio, really. It's the movement that you're prioritizing.
But they do talk about flexibility, and I have gotten more flexibility doing those workouts. I've gotten a lot more flexibility, but sometimes they go too fast. It can't just be about cardio, but I know that they want you to get some of that. I don't know what it is. It's a weird mix. And I get that no matter what kind of yoga you're doing, you will get the benefit of like holding positions. It does build a certain kind of strength, not weightlifting strength, but it does build a strong, it does build muscles that can hold a body position and hold yourself correctly. And it does build strength. So, but yeah, I think it was, I think it's something to do with that. So anyway, I took that video that you sent me a long time ago and I had never done. And it was like a half hour workout with like four poses, I think it was. Four positions.
If it was a yin yoga video of mine, it was only half an hour. Yeah, that's about four
poses. It was the one using the wall and you were doing different hip stretches and you had some props. You had some towels. You had a yoga strap, which I didn't have at the time, but I do have now. You know what I don't have? I don't have a good open space of wall, though. I used the bed, which sucks compared to a wall.
When I come to your place next month, I can just clear off some wall space for you. Just like,
no, move. I could do that too, Peter.
Right, but sometimes people need a prod of some sort. They need a prompt. They need someone to help them, you know, like give them permission.
Okay, but what happens if in the middle of the night I prompt you and give you permission to fly out the bedroom window down to the ground below?
Then hopefully I will have prompted myself to throw the mattress out before I land on it.
No, I don't know. Anyway, what is it? Do you ever do any other kind of yoga, or do you always do yin yoga?
Oh, yeah. No.
So what's your ratio? And how do you decide when? I mean, there are times, like there was a day where my body, the day that I did that workout, I could tell my body was super sore from something. I don't even know what. And the night before I had done a regular yoga and I hated every second of it. And I thought, I'm not doing that again. I am not doing that again. Because usually yoga makes me feel better. Yep. It just made me mad. And so that's when I did your workout. And boy, did I ever feel better.
So, well, I'm glad to hear that.
But it might not always be that obvious.
Right. Well, and that's the truth, too, is you've got to pay attention to your body. But anyway, as for what my schedule is like, that really depends. First off, when I teach a yin class or a restorative class, I am generally doing most, if not all, of the poses with the students. Now, it's not 100% the same because, you know, I'm mostly focused on reading the room, conveying things, making sure things look and feel like things are going along right. But physically, I'm trying to do the same stuff. But that said, I usually take one or two yin classes with my teachers per week. And then I will fill in the gaps by taking other classes with other teachers, depending. And that all depends on work, depends on personal commitments, it depends on my running schedule. Some days it's like, all right, today I'm running 13 miles. Darn it. You know, the only time the weather's going to be good is this time, which butts right up against my other classes. So no yoga today, or I will take a yoga video later. As it happens this weekend, Saturday is looking really nice. prime running time is early afternoon, and I'm taking a yoga with Thai massage class with my friend Amy, who's teaching at the end of the day. So sometimes it's just a nice, perfect intersection of things. So I'm hoping this Saturday will be one of those.
So you're going to get to run, then you're going to get yoga, then you're going to get all those sore muscles massaged.
I don't know if I'm going to get all of those sore muscles, because it's, you know, a full class and she guides you through these poses and stuff. And then she comes around and, you know, like gives you a little bit of a Thai massage in certain areas and stuff. So
like your calves.
But at least maybe some of those muscles. So that'll be nice.
That's amazing.
Plus, I know the teacher, so I can put in a request. I'm like, oh, low back, it's really killing me.
But do you do some kind of flexibility every day, even if you don't have time for a full yoga?
I do something every day, yes. Yeah, it's maybe not a full-on yoga routine, but I do a little bit, you know, a little bit of stretching here and there. I'm always at least deliberately doing some forward folds and some back bends, a little bit of side stretches.
Yes,
But when I do forward folds, when I say that, it's like I'm emphasizing stretching into the hamstrings and the calves, as opposed to, say, the glutes, which most people get plenty of by just sitting all the time, right? So I don't focus on that.
Interesting. Yeah, I do the same thing myself. I find myself doing a lot of stretching in general, but I do yoga almost every day. In fact, today will be one of the very rare days that I'm just not doing yoga. I don't need to, and you and I have already had beer now, so I don't feel like doing it tonight.
And that's the other thing, too, is I may not do something every day, but it's not that uncommon, too, when I'll spend like an hour teaching a class, or, you know, 2 hours teaching a class and an hour taking a class.
Mm-hmm.
So some days I'm quote unquote doing yoga for 2 or 3 hours. So on the average, it's probably about an hour a day. And that also, we're talking strictly like physical stuff, not counting just a seated meditation period, which is also a form of yoga. So
it's just not a,
it's not so physical.
It's not a comprehensive form of yoga.
Well, I don't think there's not much. I mean, there are some that say they're incorporating this and this and this.
By comprehensive, I mean, you get a lot of different muscles worked.
Oh yeah. No, seated meditation. It's working this muscle up here.
Hey, you look like you're wearing an EFF shirt.
I am wearing an EFF shirt.
I recognize that logo.
It's the 30 year anniversary one. And I have this year's as well.
Wow. 30 years of EFF. I like that. All right. Well, I'm just about done.
I'm just about done with my beer.
Yeah, I am definitely done with my beer. My beer's gone. I've been drinking water. I wanted to give a couple of shout outs for recommendations of things that I enjoyed this week, though.
It would be nice if we had some nice things that we enjoy.
Yes, I enjoy my family. But besides them, you like how I just brushed them aside?
Shout out to your family. Yes, God's family.
Immediately brush them aside. So I've been playing a game called Not Words. It's in the iOS App Store. It's only on Apple devices. It's like a crossword puzzle, except that it's not a full square or anything like that. It's basically, what it is that only certain letters can go in certain positions. Like they'll have a 3-letter block or a 4-letter block, and it will show you what letters can go there, and you have to decide what order they go in for the words to make sense. And because all of those sections are up against each other, you have to make that decision for all these sections in order to get all the words across the puzzle to make sense. And it's really a lot of fun.
I've sort of been taking a break from word puzzly things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but I'm sure it's great.
No, it's a good one. There's a difference between word puzzles that aren't it's one of the good ones. It's one of the ones that's worth doing. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
And then the other thing I did was I watched the series about Magic, the documentary about Magic Johnson on Apple TV Plus called They Call Me Magic.
Okay.
And that was really good. I mean, Magic Johnson is, you know, by his own admission, a flawed human being. You know, he had issues. He put his wife off for a long time not getting married. And by the time he did get married to her, it wasn't long after, you know, it was almost immediately afterwards he found out that he had HIV, and he had gotten that before they got married.
Yep.
But the thing that I like about the man is that he adapts and grows, and he takes the things that happen to him. He not only does he learn from them and admit when something's his responsibility, but he also is willing to change. And when one of his sons came out as being gay, at first he had a lot of problems with it. He didn't like it. And he told him, no, you can't be that way. You're supposed to be a man, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then, you know, he came to the realization. He said, no, he's not the one that has to change. I'm the one that has to change. And he completely turned his whole attitude about it around. And he's proud of the kid. He said he's just amazed by how many other kids his son coming out has helped and inspired and been an encouragement for. And, you know, he's willing to recognize when something about himself is wrong and he has to turn it around and change. I really enjoyed that. I really liked that because, yeah, I'm sure he's a human being and I'm sure you could dig up bad things on the guy, but he really seems committed to trying to be the best self that he can be. And there's a lot of public entertainers of any type where you want to enjoy their work, but don't go bothering to find out anything about them. You will be sadly disappointed.
Yes, never get to know your heroes, as they say.
Right. So it's nice to have an example of a person that, you know, at least is really making a genuine try to not be like that.
Oh, good job. Kudos.
Plus, it shows a lot about an era of basketball that I found pretty interesting.
Yes. That was the, what, 80s, 90s?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, my recommendation is way less deep, way more superficial. Moon Knight on Disney Plus.
What is it, Peter?
It's the latest Marvel superheroes series, and the season finale has just dropped today. So as soon as we're done, I am going to carefully race downstairs to watch it.
You don't watch Better Call Saul, do you?
I saw the first season.
Oh, okay.
That's as far as I got.
It's really gotten good. It's in the last season now.
It's still going on?
It's in the last season. Well, you got to remember, there was a huge delay between seasons 4 and 5. I think it's only in season 5.
COVID or what?
It's either in season 5 or 6. Yeah, that was part of it.
Okay.
Most of these TV shows nowadays, they have huge delays in between seasons anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
But COVID made it even worse than normal.
I mean, I've seen ads for it pop up here and there. So maybe I'll wait until it's done and then I can binge that at some point. Cool. Well, on that note, I think we should wrap it, dude. On this podcast, we don't have a big red button, so what do we do? Do we send people to friendswith.beer?
No, don't go there.
What about friendswithbeerpod on Twitter?
They can go there, yeah. I'm using Twitter a lot less, but I still will tweet out episodes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it's called the Musk effect.
It's not just that, it's my own mental health. Like, I just don't want to doom scroll anymore.
It's called the mental health effect. Yes.
But here's the problem. Ignoring reality doesn't necessarily work because reality comes for you. I didn't hear about the Supreme Court thing until my wife told me because I had been not paying attention to news as hard as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And when she told me, it just blew me away. Like, I knew that there had been a leak about something, but I didn't know any of the details. And yeah, I don't really know if ignoring the news does any good because then it just is even more startling to you when somebody tells you, like, is there a right? What? I don't even know anymore, Peter.
Hard to say. You know, it may be worth some psychological research, the impact of stuff that, you know, like not knowing and getting blindsided by it or angst and worrying about it for weeks and months.
Problem is not everybody can stick their head in the sand because we do have to actually react to things that are happening and try to fight back against the things that we don't like. But we also have to not go insane and not kill ourselves out of depression.
Therein lies the rub. So,
but I guess what I'm saying is a lot of people are just like, I'm just going to not pay attention because it's mentally healthy. And while I totally get that, if everybody did that, things would be even worse than they already are. And they're pretty bad.
Yes. And the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is that if everybody decided to not have children, then we would all be extinct in a generation or less than a generation because there wouldn't be any generations. But if some folks don't have kids, that can be beneficial for population control.
Right, but the transhumanists want to live forever, so they'll just take off where your non-existent children would have carried on.
You're talking about Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk?
I guess. I
Mark Zuckerberg living on in the metaverse?
All right, well, I'm going to run one last clip, and this will be our big red button.
We have a zero bug attacking all login and overlay files.
Run antivirus. Give me a systems display.
Run antivirus. Give me a systems display. I'm going to have to watch that movie again. There sound like a lot of really good sound bites that I need to use next time I'm coordinating an incident at work.
Today, I learned that antivirus is effective against zero bugs.
That sounds shockingly accurate. Antivirus is effective against zero bugs these days. All right, so if people want to follow us or find us, let's be honest, they know how. They're listening to this freaking podcast.
That's right, but I will say that Peter's registered domain, friendswithbeer.com, has always been registered the entire time that we've been podcasting, so please go there.
Feels like I did something right today.
And then go to friendswabeerpod on Twitter.
Yes! I forget, did I even register friendswithbeer.com?
You said you were going to. You said you were going to register a bunch of things, and I don't know if you ever did.
I did say that I was going to, and I don't think I did. And that's probably for the best.
Probably.
All right. On that note, I say you take us out.
The big red gong.